From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with his study of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of God's judgment as set forth in Chapter 2 of the Epistle. In the previous message, he showed that God's judgment is according to truth. Continuing to examine Romans chapter 2, Dr. Cairns brings a message called The Standard of God's Righteous Judgment. The Apostle Paul emphasized that God will never deviate from his own standard. In the first place, we see that the righteous judgment of God will reflect the character of the judge. Dr. Cairns will introduce this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Victory Without Battle. The text is found in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Precious word, Jehovah himself will deliver his people in the greatness of his mercy. But he will not do it by the ordinary means. Men are slow to render to God the glory due unto his name. If they go to battle with sword and bow and win the victory, they ought to praise their God. Yet they do not, but begin to magnify their own right arm and glory in their horses and horsemen. For this reason, our Jehovah often determines to save his people without secondary means, that all the honor may be to himself alone. Look then, my heart, to the Lord alone, and not to man. Expect to see God all the more clearly when there is no one else to look to. If I have no friend, no adviser, no one at my back, let me be nonetheless confident if I can feel that the Lord himself is on my side. Yea, let me be glad if he gives victory without battle, as the text seems to imply. Why do I ask for horses and horsemen, if Jehovah himself has mercy upon me, and lifts up his arm for my defense? Why need I bow or sword, if God will save? Let me trust and not be afraid, from this day forth and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Romans chapter 2. We'll read the first 11 verses. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The word righteousness may very well be taken as the key word in the entire epistle to the Romans. Certainly, it is impossible to understand this epistle without grasping the meaning and the use of the word righteousness. The key verse of Romans is in 1:17, and there we read that in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. And then we read also that if I can give it its literal force, the just by faith, or the righteous by faith. If you hyphenate those words, you'll get my meaning. Those who are righteous by faith shall live. One great aim and object of this gospel, or this epistle, is to expound the doctrine of the righteousness revealed in the gospel. The doctrine of justification by free grace through faith alone in the merits of Christ alone. That is the great central doctrinal component of this epistle. But having said that in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed, the apostle in chapter 1 verse 18 immediately proceeds to say that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who stifle the truth in unrighteousness. And as the structure of the epistle begins to get filled out, you see that through the rest of chapter 1, Paul is expounding upon the righteous judgment of God against the Gentile heathen nations. In chapter 2, he continues with the great theme of judgment. This time he is dealing mostly with the Jew, but as our Bible reading has made clear, he is not speaking only to Jews, for there is no respect of persons with God, and the same principles of judgment apply both to Jews and to Gentiles. And in expounding this judgment of God, he emphasizes once again the idea of righteousness. In this epistle, The word righteousness describes the character of God. It describes the obedience of Christ. It describes the standing of believers that they enjoy in Christ. And in the passage before us, it is used to speak of the nature, what I've called the principle of divine judgment. As I've indicated, judgment is the major theme of Romans chapter 2. Addressing the self-righteous Jew, by extension, all who would easily judge the sins of others while going easy on their own sins. While speaking to these people, Paul takes up this theme of judgment, and he does it in some detail. I've already looked at the fact that the judgment of God, according to verse 2, is according to truth. Now we are going to see in verse 5 that it is according to righteousness. He speaks of the righteous judgment of God. The righteous judgment, in English you've got two words, righteous judgment. In the Greek text it's a single word. It has the same meaning. It has the idea of the absolute righteousness of God in judgment. Obviously, this is a text that is looking forward. It is looking forward to that great day when the judge of all the earth, who always does right, will ascend to his great white throne of judgment. All the nations will be gathered there. Every man will obey the summons to be present. For centuries, men have deluded themselves that there will be no judgment. Even those who believe in heaven mostly will say that they do not believe in hell. Those who say they believe in God as our Father will refuse largely to believe in God as a righteous judge. There's nothing new about this. It has always been the case. David noted back in the 10th Psalm, verse 11 and then 13, that the wicked hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. And again, the wicked hath said in his heart to God, thou wilt not require it. In other words, there will be no day of reckoning. There will be no day of judgment. But over against all this, the Apostle Paul has made the crystal clear statement, an announcement that should ring through the countries of the world and through the generations of time and into every single human heart. Acts 17, verse 31. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is the great truth that the apostle is announcing in Romans 2 and verse 5, when he speaks of the righteous judgment of God. In stating this truth, in speaking of the righteous judgment of God, the apostle is making clear a doctrine that I want to emphasize tonight. Let me put it as plainly as I can, and I trust that you will never forget it. That God's judgment will never deviate from the standard of perfect righteousness. God's judgment will never deviate from the standard of perfect righteousness. And as we explore that doctrine, I will make three simple, but I trust, searching statements. First and foremost, the righteous judgment of God will reflect the character of the judge. You remember that Paul, in writing to Timothy, almost the last words that Paul ever wrote, certainly the last chapter of the last epistle, as he looks forward to a martyr's death, he says, I am now ready to be offered. The day of my departure is at hand. And as he faces that day, he looks forward to receiving a crown of righteousness, which, says he, the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Notice the title Paul gives to his God, the Lord, the righteous judge. I want that title to sink into our consciences tonight. Our God is righteous, and he is righteous by eternal necessity. God did not become righteous. In fact, I'm very tempted to step off here for a moment from dealing with the epistle to the Romans and to get into a little theological controversy. We have a curse abroad in evangelicalism and even invading some so-called Reformed churches today. We have a bunch of backsliding theologians who are forever seeking to tamper with the Reformed doctrine of God, the biblical doctrine of God, and the biblical doctrine of salvation. We have a new theology about, which speaks of God, tries to deal with what they see as the conflict between the immutability of God and his eternal counsel, and the texts of Scripture which speak of God repenting. There's no great conflict. The solution has long been clear in the Bible. In fact, Hosea makes it clear that he can only use the idea of God's repenting because God is immutable. The repenting is something that describes the phenomenon of God's dealings with man from man's point of view. But it is always inflexibly right and unchangeably true that God loves righteousness and hates unrighteousness. When unrighteous people repent and get right with God, God does not visit them with judgment. But the change is not in God. The change is in the object of his treatment. But to deal with this so-called controversy in Scripture or conflict in Scripture, these backsliding theologians have come up with the notion of God in a state of change. God in a state of flux, importing a heathen philosophy into so-called Christian theology. They have invented a God who is forever becoming. Now let me tell you, God does not become righteous. God is not righteous because he chose to be righteous rather than unrighteous. God is not righteous because he adopted righteousness. God is righteous because that is what he is, eternally, essentially, immutably. If I could put it this way, God could not be without being righteous.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.